right. Continue this afternoon in our basic Bible doctrines series that we've been in for some time now. We are on the subject or the basic Bible doctrine of the home. And we've considered and covered a husband's responsibility towards his wife, a wife's responsibility towards her husband, towards her family. And we've several weeks now been on this theme and this subject, and today we are looking at the responsibility of parents towards their children. And last week we considered several different things. We talked about mostly, though, accountability to the Lord. We have been granted, by the grace of God, children
as parents, and children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. And so by that acknowledgement, we are accountable to God for how we train and raise His heritage. And so we establish the fact that children are an heritage of the Lord, and as parents, we're accountable to Him for how we train them. But we also establish the fact that God has a great purpose for each and every one of those children that He's given to us. God doesn't do anything by accident and without purpose. And if children are an heritage of the Lord, and He placed them in your family, then God has a particular purpose for your children that He holds you accountable for as a parent and me as well. And so it becomes imperative that we train them up in the way that they should go, that they might further fulfill God's purpose for their life. And we hold the keys to help them become what God has in store for them. And each person is accountable to God, certainly. But there's an extended period of training and time where God has entrusted them to us, that we train not only behavior, but their heart and their soul, so that they learn to respond to God when God speaks. And so we train them to honor. But training is not going to happen unless the parent understands and learns that we have to establish control over those children. And so those are all things that we discussed last week. And now we come to the issue of authority, parental authority. So we talked about parental accountability last week, but today we're going to talk about parental authority. And also in this conversation, as we consider this thought, we need to understand that we need to establish control over those young children. See, and here's the reason why. Every child, as you know, as a parent, has a stubborn self-will. They're little sinners, just like we are sinners. And that will, just like it works with you, just like it works with me, is going to go contrary to the will of God. Self-will is going to go contrary to the will of God. And that little stubborn, sinful will needs to be broken in the heart of a child. Not talking about breaking a spirit, not talking about breaking a child, but the stubborn, sinful will, the self-pleasing, self-ruling will needs to be broken in the heart of a child. And that is a battle that parents, you cannot lose. All too often it happens, though, and you see it in culture, you see it in society. You know, when you are in the store and you see the little brat who's throwing a fit on the floor and wailing and flailing, you know, because they can't get what they want, that's the stubborn, sinful self-will, right? And that is the child who has trained the parent in that situation, and the parent to give them whatever they want just to calm them down, to make them happy so they'll stop. That is a little sinner doing what little sinners do, and it's out of control. Are you with me here? It's the parent's responsibility before the Lord to work at breaking that sinful, stubborn will, and it's a battle that you cannot lose. Sometimes you have to pick your battles, but there are times when you have gotten yourself into the battle as a parent, and the easy thing to do is to just give them what they want and make it go away. That's the easy thing to do. Once you find yourself in the battle, you better win. You can't give the ground. And so we're going to talk about this issue of parental authority. And you know, here's a word that the majority of the world doesn't like. It's a word that all rebels hate: authority. And a majority of this world is rebellious. And certainly rebellious against God and against His Word, but also against the God-ordained authorities over them. And I mentioned this morning in the Sunday School Hour that the spirit of rebellion is the spirit of Antichrist. And it's definitely prevalent in our society. In fact, the Bible predicts and says that rebellion will be a sign of the times, a mark of the last days. Go with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent." That means no self-control. "Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." There's lots of marks of the last days. Lovers of their own selves. Tell me that that's not a mark of our culture. They're covetous and boasters, arrogance. They're proud. They're blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. It's a mark of the last days. No self-control. Without natural affection. You know, there's probably nothing that describes people without natural affection more than abortion. There's nothing more natural than a mother's love for her baby. And to have a society and a culture that even applauds and uplifts and puts on a pedestal abortion is without natural affection. It's a mark of the day. Recent generations almost react as if they've been programmed against authority, against the legitimate use of authority in society, in the home. I mean, what is behind all of the anti-police sentiment in our country? What's behind that? Not that they're racists. Guaranteed, stats will prove and show that police officers don't go randomly picking out black people and shooting them on the street. What is behind all of the rioting and all the protesting and so on? Is it equal rights? That's not what's really behind it, folks. It's rebellion against authority that is behind it. And it's a mark of the day. God is the one who established authority. And everyone has some authority over them somewhere. And that's how an orderly society will function. Okay? So with all of that, just with normal living and normal life, it's so important, folks, to train our children to submit to the authority that God has placed over them, which is you, the parent. Because it sets the stage for life skills that they will so desperately need. And beyond that, it sets the stage for the ability to submit to God in their life. If we don't, and if we are not diligent to teach our children the proper respect for authority and submission to authority, we are doing them a huge disservice that literally later on in life is going to hamstring them in their ability to function. Generations grow up with no respect for authority, or they're taught to question everything. And the reason they do that, listen, it's not because everything it needs to be questioned all around them. It's because they don't want to submit to the authority in their life. And see, if I don't agree with it, well, then I'm going to question it. What's behind that? Well, people learn to set themselves up as God, as the ruler, as the authority. And so anything that they don't disagree with or that doesn't fit into their way of thinking, you know, oh, I'm not going to do it or I'm going to question it. Typically, rebellion is behind that. What we need to first of all teach in our children is that God is the ultimate authority. Psalm 47, turn over there with me. Psalm 47. Verse 2. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. So God is the great king who is over all the earth. Psalm 83 in verse 18 says that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. God is the ultimate authority. It needs to be established in our life. But then secondly, we need to understand this, that no authority exists except as appointed by God. So God is the ultimate authority, and no authority exists except as appointed by God. Look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Even in a government that may be corrupt, certainly doesn't have God's wisdom, they're still only allowed to be there by the will of God. God has a purpose in His plan. Does God ordain evil leaders and kings? Well, He allows them for His purposes, whatever that may be. There's no authority that exists except as appointed by God. God has established, listen, and so when we have that principle in place, we bring this back to the home, okay? Because God has established the institution of the home. And God has established that the parent is the ruling authority in that home. Dad first, then mom. And this position has been delegated by God. And so, if that delegation is by God, then with that position is the right to rule children and all the power that is necessary to succeed in training children according to God's plan. So, this position as parent is really the direct agency through which children are to receive ruling, training during their childhood years. It's through this position that children are to receive protection, direction, instruction in their life. And God has granted that authority. And because of God granted parental authority, parents have the right. Here it is. Let me tell you this. Let me say it in as simple words as I can. Parents have the right to set their will over the will of the children. They are commanded, children are commanded of God to follow the rulership of their parents. Parents have the right, because it's ordained of God, parents have the right and the power to administer justice and to administer punishment for disobedience or reward for compliance to their command. Parents have the right to establish their will over the will of the children. And so to what extent, then, may a parent enforce their will on their children? Well, the Bible gives us the direction. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So the word that is used here is the word obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's the Greek word that means to command. It means meaning to hear and then to do. All right? So some people try to equate this word obey with the same word as submission when it comes to, you know, husbands love your wives and wives submit yourselves unto your own husbands. It's not the same word. It's not the same thing as submission. Submission, and obedience to a husband by a wife has to do with the will, willful compliance, willful submission. But this word obey that God gives in reference to children obeying their parents is a completely different word that doesn't have to do with the will. In fact, the word is very, very powerful. It means to hear and to do, and it's not the same thing as submission. Submission deals with the attitude and the compliance, but obedience carries the meaning of forced compliance if necessary, meaning that it's not an option. Does that make sense? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's not an option with God. In other words, children are to do as they are told. And this is what needs to be enforced and drilled into our children at a very, very young age. Their job, according to God, is to obey their parents. Your job is to obey your dad. To do as you're told. Hear and then do. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And so we find here that God has delegated this authority to the parents. We'll talk about this in just a little bit, some applications to how this should work in a home. But most of the time, maybe those are too general words. Sometimes I've seen this a lot in some homes. Parents, try to be friends, be buddy buddy with their kids, get their kids to like them. And parents, instead of being the parent, instead of giving the orders, instead of making the children do what they're told to do, parents will often just give suggestions to their children. Or they'll allow their children to constantly question their orders and their commands. And like I said earlier this morning, there's nothing wrong with asking questions, as long as the heart behind it is humble and the heart behind it is right. But when there's constantly this allowance of continually questioning, questioning the parents' orders, and constantly allowing the children to have an explanation before they go and do what you've told them to do, something's wrong, something's missing. Because the children will take that and run with that. You give them an inch, they'll take the mile, that kind of a thing. And it's like children will develop an attitude like, okay, well, I have to have this explanation. And then if I agree with it, okay, then I'll comply and do what I'm told to do. No, 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 no. It's the other way around. You're going to do as you're told to do. And if there's a humble heart behind, Daddy, can I ask you why I need to do this? I can see, as the parent, I can see, and I know my kids, I know when there's a humble heart there and a real question. But to continually be able to constantly ask, and then if I agree, if I see where you're going with this, okay, then I'll comply, that's all wrong. Because the children are setting themselves up to be the authority rather than learning to submit to the authority that they have been given. God holds the parents responsible for this. And God was serious about children obeying their parents. Look with me in Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 15. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Let's go back and look a little bit earlier here. Verse 12 says, he that smiteth a man so that he die shall be surely put to death. So here we have the establishment of God's order of things. Verse 13, if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor and slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. And in the very next breath, God says, he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. God puts it on the same exact level, as murder here in this context. But he doesn't give any qualification. He just says, a child that smites his father or mother should be put to death. In Matthew chapter 15, my point is that God was serious about this relationship between parents and children, and one of respect and one of authority. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 4. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. See the disrespect in the relationship there between the child and the parent? God was serious about this relationship. And God holds the parent responsible. God gave the command to children to obey, but holds you as a parent accountable because he gave you the authority. Now, there comes a time in their life when they're on their own. And we don't hold that same authority over them anymore. Which is why when they're young, when they're small, when they're little, from the moment they're born, we begin to teach in them and train in them and instill in them God's plan. And God's plan for submission to authority. So let me just make some applications of daily life situations, maybe, with this idea that we're talking about here. Number one, as a parent, we don't and shouldn't make suggestions to our children, but rather give orders. And it might go something like this. It's late at night, it's time for bed, and the kids maybe have been playing, nicely. Hey, amen, they're playing nicely. Not bickering, not fighting, so on, they're playing nicely. And it's time for bed. And so instead of, what a parent ought to say, okay, it's time for bed now, Johnny. I want you to pick up your toys right now, and then I want you to go and put your pajamas on. All right, go do it. There's a command, right? There's an order. Sometimes, though, it's like this. Well, you should probably think about starting to pick up your toys now, and then maybe after that you should go and put your pajamas on. There's a big difference in saying, hey, it's time for bed. I want you right now to pick up your toys, go put your pajamas on, it's bedtime. There's a big difference between that and saying, well, you might want to think about picking up your toys, and then maybe after that go put your pajamas on. One is an order, one is a suggestion. As a parent, you need to give orders and not make suggestions. Why? What's behind that? Well, because you have the authority over your children. Children are commanded to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. And if there's a command that's given and there's not compliance with the command, if you haven't given a command and you've just given a suggestion, there's no really way for you to deal with disobedience. Understand what I mean? Because if you say very clearly, I want you to pick up your toys, I want you to go put your pajamas on. All right, go do it. Now, there's no question about what you said. And you can deal with disobedience and you can deal with attitude now if there's not compliance all at the same time. We have always made our children respond to us when we give them an order. If it was that scenario, let's just say Jovi is playing and she's playing nicely. Okay, Jovi, it's time for you to pick up your toys and I want you to go put your pajamas on. We've always made our children say, yes, mommy, yes, daddy. And the reason we've done that is because now I know they've heard me. There's no question on whether or not they understand what I've said to them. And so if there's a non-compliance and maybe just a continuing to play with the toys when I've already told them to pick them up, now I know it's disobedience. They acknowledged me. They said, yes, daddy. Anything different, anything less is disobedience. I can identify it. I can deal with it. Make sense? There's a difference, though, if you say, okay, you might want to think about this, and you give a suggestion rather than an order, the child can be like, well, I didn't hear you, Mom. Didn't hear you, Dad. Oh, I didn't know you meant for me to do it right now. See the difference? Children are, they need orders, not suggestions. In this way, we can properly deal with the disobedience and we can properly deal with any attitudes that come with it at the same time. What kind of attitudes do children give? Well, rebellious ones, right? And there are certain things that you can look for. Responses that show rebellion in the heart and disobedience. For example, okay, it's time for you to pick up your toys and I want you to go put your pajamas on. Oh, Mom! You ever heard that one? Never. I'm not talking about from your wife. That, the root of that, is rebellion in the heart. Not wanting to comply with the order that's been given. And listen, parents, you can't let those little sinners get away with it. Because that is their stubborn self-will that eventually is going to cause you, when they're a little bit older, is eventually going to cause you a whole lot more problem than you're ready to deal with. Listen, there ought to be training and teaching in our children to obey the first time that they're told. And this takes real work. It takes real diligence on the part of the parents. So often, though, it's, okay, it's time for to get ready for bed, pick up your toys, and then Mom's back in the other room, you know, in the kitchen doing whatever she needs to do, and she comes back out, and here's little Johnny still playing with his toys. Hey, I thought I told you to go pick up your toys and go get your pajamas on. Oh, right, Mom, right, yeah, yeah. So then Mom goes back and whatever, does what she needs to do, and then she comes back in, and here's Johnny. He still hasn't put his toys away. And maybe he's just like one at a time, but he's still playing with this one. I told you to put your toys. Oh, Mom, I am putting my toys away. I am. See? Oh, okay. And now three times Mom's had to tell little Johnny to pick up his toys and go put his pajamas on. What is behind that? It is rebellion in the heart that needs to be crushed. It's his stubborn self-will, not wanting to comply. And parents, it may not seem like a big deal right now when they're young and when they're little, but we are setting ourselves up and we're setting our children up for failure. You're setting yourself up for a little rebellious young man that you have no control over. Because there's coming a point in time when he is going to exert his self-will and it doesn't matter what you say, Mom. It doesn't matter what you say, Dad. He's going to do what he wants to do. It doesn't seem like a big deal now, but it will be. It'll be more than you can handle and more than you can deal with. This is why now, when they're still pliable, and they're still young, this issue of authority and obedience needs to be established into our children. We don't make suggestions. We give orders. You know, there's other responses that we can look for that show evidence of rebellion in the heart. Maybe it's not the, Mom, but maybe it's this little pouty poochy lip. Okay, it's time to pick up your toys. Hey, we should act this one out. Kara, why don't you come on up here? We were just having a conversation at lunch today about how the little kids in Sunday school, they don't remember a thing that you taught them last week. I think one of the Sunday school teachers was teaching a lesson that was actually taught last week, and the little kid had the lesson. He's like, "Didn't you hear this last week?" "No, I don't remember." And then he said, "Well, when you act it out, the kids remember it." And then somebody suggested, "Well, maybe, Pastor, you should start acting out some things in church. We'll start to remember it." So we could act this one out, Kara. Right. You ever seen that in the kids? That lip all of a sudden, it's about 2 feet long. Yeah, or they start tripping over their lip. Don't let them get away with it, parents. That's rebellion in the heart against authority. When Jovi, she just gave me the look. She, "Don't you dare, Daddy." When she was young, maybe about 2 years old, this was a thing. She'd be given a command and an order, and sometimes you'd see that lip go. And it'd start to quiver just a little bit. And my wife and I both, we weren't, that doesn't fly. You're not going to get away with that. And we were training and teaching her, that is not okay. You need to do as you're told. You don't have a pouty lip. You do it with the right attitude, or there's consequences. And so, after some training along those lines, she got the hint. She knew that doesn't fly. And so whenever that would come out, whenever I would see it, whenever it would start to come out, she'd have that look, and I'd say, "Jovi, take that look off your face." So she'd go from, and then she'd hear Daddy say, "Take that look off your face." And so she'd go, like all of a sudden, "No, Dad, I don't have an attitude. I'm good, Dad." See, they learn. They learn rather quickly, but only if there's training. Only if there's consistency on the part of the parents. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard to be consistent because we all have busy lives. But listen, our children and their soul is at stake. And this is the thing that we need to remember. This is the thing that we need to embrace, is that the soul of our child is at stake, and they don't even belong to me. They belong to the Lord. There's nothing more important in the moment, listen, than dealing with our children. If Dad, if you got to get up from the other room, whatever you're doing, and go and deal with this little attitude, then do it. Mom, if you're frazzled, you had a long day and the kids are just gotten every one of your nerves, you need to ask God's grace one more time to deal with it in their life. Deal with it now in the moment. The easy thing is to just, "Oh, I'm so frazzled with all this bickering with all of the kids. They're just always at each other." And to let it go. But the consequences of that are going to be far, far worse down the road. Ask God for His grace one more time to be consistent and to train and to teach, because it's their soul. Don't let them get away with the rebellious attitude and the poochy lip and the non-compliance. Don't train them that they only need to obey after the third or fourth time they've been told what to do. How is it that it usually works? Well, each time that the parent has to tell the child to do something, they're a little more frustrated. So the first time it's the command. The second time is, "Hey, I told you to do this." And they don't do it. And then the third time is like, "Hey, I told you to do this. Why haven't you done this yet?" And then the fourth time it's like, kaboom! And the kid knows, "Oh, okay, now I need to respond. Now I need to obey." They keep pushing the limit until they figure out that, "Oh, now the hammer's coming down. And now's when I need to obey." We need to train them and teach them. No, you need to obey the first time that you're told. And then parents, by God's grace, have enough control and Holy Spirit control about us to do our job. Parents need to be unified in this approach. When it comes to establishing authority in the home, children need to understand that both parents are to be considered authority in the home. Dad, mom, children. Children obey both their parents in the Lord. And dad, you need to be the enforcer of that. Especially with little boys. Because the little boys are not going to be one told what to do by a woman. And that is a natural thing that is inside of them that is going to want to come out. And boy, those boys are going to push. They're going to push mom. And they're going to keep on pushing mom. And there's going to be little attitudes and little disrespect and little snide comments that they're going to want to bring to throw out. And if it's not dealt with and it's not dealt with harshly, that's going to grow and grow. Dad, you need to be the watchdog in that. Mom is to be obeyed just as if it was dad. Right? Are you here? Are you with me? And dad, if you got a son who's starting to show his independence, and he's starting to give a little attitude to mom, dad, you better come down on it. And you better do it now before it's too late. I've given some counsel to parents before with this very issue. You know, dad's gone at work, and he's not always there. And so mom has to be on guard, and she's got to be tough, and she's got to stick to her guns. But little Johnny's starting to grow a little. He's starting to show a little independence. And he's starting to give mom a little bit of lip. I've given advice to parents at times, mom, you need to deal with it now. You need to be hard on him. You need to correct that. But then, number two, as soon as dad gets home, then dad needs to deal with it. At the same time, until this issue is corrected. Dad needs to be the reinforcer. He's not always home, and little Johnny's going to give some lip to mom. Well, he knows he wouldn't dare do that to dad because he knows what will happen. But he's pushing it with mom. I would suggest, if that's the case, mom, you need to do what you need to do. You deal with it then, and then you call your husband. Here's what he's been doing. Here's what he said. And the kid better know that as soon as dad gets home, he's going to get lit up. Because you don't disrespect your mother. It wouldn't take but one or two times, I don't think. And little Johnny is going to learn how to respect his mother too. Parents need to be unified. Dad needs to be the enforcer. And parents, you need to help each other in this by being on the same page. We don't ever undermine each other. Especially in front of the children. How do we do that? Well, maybe there's a scenario where, I think I said Susie last time and Susie was there. So I changed it to Martha. Little Martha goes and asks mom, Mom, can I do this? And she says, no, I don't want you to do this right now. Oh, okay. And then she runs over and asks dad, because dad's wrapped around her little finger. Hey, daddy, can I do this? Oh, yeah, I don't think that's a problem. Go ahead. Without ever consulting with mom first. That's happened a lot of times. One of my little ones would come to me and say, daddy, can I do this? I'm like, did you ask your mother? Yep. Well, what did your mom say? She said, no. Then why are you asking me? They know better now. Whatever mom said, that's the answer. No, you can't do that if mom said no. And vice versa. Parents need to be on the same page. Always back each other up. Don't ever undermine one's ruling over the other. Dad's supposed to be the leader of the home. Well, mom said no, she couldn't do it. Then dad, you better side with mom for the child's sake. Because what will happen is those kids will learn who's soft. Who will give me what I want? And they'll learn to pit one against the other to get what they want. need to be unified. Otherwise, it teaches them that they can pit one against the other to get what they want. If there are differences, parents, you need to discuss those differences in ruling or differences in discipline in private, never in front of the kids. And we should always have each other's back. You should always have your spouse's back, because those kids are smart and they figure out real quick who's going to help them get what they want, but only if you let them. If we are determined and consistent in training of authority, God gives us some promises of what will happen. Ephesians chapter 6, we read there in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But look what verse 2 and verse 3 says. Verse 2 says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now look, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. There's a promise that goes behind and goes with this command. And if there's obedience and there's compliance and we follow after God's plan, God promises blessing. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Wow. What parent doesn't want productive, well-adjusted, peaceable relationships with their children? What parent doesn't want children who turn out to be productive in society and who are a blessing to them and a blessing to others? Every parent wants that. But it doesn't happen by accident, and it doesn't happen by osmosis either. It happens with diligent, determined training and teaching of God's principles and applying them in their life. We teach our children to learn to respect authority, to obey the authority in their life. It's going to bring peace into their life. Amen? And parent, you hold the key to future blessing for your children. We'll talk about discipline a little bit more maybe next week, and what to do in situation X, or so on. But we need to establish this accountability to God first for the training, the authority that God has delegated in our life, and the responsibility that goes with it. How grave, but oh, how rewarding our job is as parents. And we need to be consistent all the time, as much as possible by God's grace. Be consistent in our homes, moms and dads. Inconsistency on the part of the parents is what breeds rebellion in their heart. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4, I believe it is. What is it that provokes children to wrath? Inconsistency on the part of the parents. You know, if at one time, you know, no, you obey and you obey right now. And then the next day or 2 days later, you know, you have to tell them 3 or 4 or 5 times to do what they're going to do until you blow. And this back and forth and back and forth and inconsistency in the home, it breeds rebellion in the heart of children. We need to be consistent day in and day out by God's grace. You have to deal with the attitudes. You got to deal with the whining. Oh, mommy, 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 mommy. You got to deal with it. The screaming, the bickering, the disrespect. All of the things that come with those little sinners that we love so much. And if we're not consistent, then our word, it's not going to mean anything to those children. And their little self-will will rule the day. God has given us authority. We need to train them, teach them. And then when we do that, by God's grace, it brings about peace into their life. Amen? We'll talk more about this next time. Get a little deeper into some of the everyday type matters and everyday type situations. But in the meantime, let's ask the Lord to help us, amen, to be the kind of parents we need to be for their soul's sake. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that you'd strengthen our moms and dads. It's a grave responsibility, but oh, how rewarding it can be. And having the right mindset and attitude going into parenthood makes a big difference. Our children are not there to make us happy. We've been granted by God this little soul for keeping and for training. Lord, I pray that you'd give your grace, your divine enablement to the parents, these families. Help these fathers and mothers to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to train them up in the way that they should go, so that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. To give them the best possible opportunity to respond when God speaks to their heart. That will raise up a generation of young people that love God with all of their heart, who can be used of God to bring glory to His name. Father, I pray that you'd lay that burden heavy on our shoulders, that it might cause us to drop to our knees, asking for your grace and your help and your strength and your wisdom. And Father, I pray for these children, so many precious children in our church, many coming to the age of accountability and understanding. Lord, I pray that you'd work in their heart to draw them, that they'd be saved at a young age. And Father, I pray that you'd help us as parents to see and understand that we set the stage in the training aspect and prepare them for when God is going to speak to their heart. Father, I pray you teach us, strengthen, encourage, challenge, all for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.